Have you ever stopped after doing something you've done 100 times and thought, what the heck am I doing? I think we all do that. Well, according to our next guest, it's what's called a curious habit. He's a leading stress and mindset coach. Luke Mathers is his name. And in his new book, he reveals how we can embrace the power of curiosity to break bad habits. It's called Curious Habits, Why We Do What We Do and How to Change. And he joins me now. Thanks so much for joining me today, Luke.
Pleasure, Jenny.
Yeah, so you've been taking a look at some of our interesting or curious, as you call them, habits.
Yeah, I like calling them curious habits. I think we go to bad habits a lot when we start thinking about habits. But I think we can use curiosity as a bit of a superpower for change, because quite often we try and change from a place of scarcity, blame and lack. You know, I'm not good enough at this, so I've got to be different. And I don't think it works. I think we've got to change because we want to change.
What are some of those curious habits? Can you give us any examples?
Oh, there's a bunch of them. They're almost like when a habit turns, when something that formerly was good turns on you. Like attention to detail is fantastic, but turning into a perfectionist is a curious habit. It doesn't serve you anymore. You know, I think chocolate's awesome. Chocolate's fantastic, but using it as anxiety medication is a curious habit. Those sorts of things. A lot of curious habits aren't necessarily bad as they are unexamined in terms of what are we getting out of them.
So you reckon that there's a reason we formed that habit in the first place, which was actually kind of useful.
Is. You look at some really curious habits, something like smoking, all right? You think smoking, you're inhaling this noxious substance that makes you smell bad and going to give you cancer. But the reason you started it was because you probably when you're a teenager, and it was probably I'm going to be with the cool kids and I'm going to feel really grown up. And that was good enough to actually smell bad and do this dangerous thing. But the kids are now gone. Life's changed. Smoking isn't achieving anything anymore, yet I'm still doing it. And that's where we've got to sort of examine them. What am I getting out of this?
Yeah, right. So a lot of the time, someone who thinks, oh, this is a terrible habit, I'm going to quit, they might be quite down on themselves. They might be thinking, I've got to do this, I've got to change. But maybe you think there's a nicer way to approach it?
Well, that's a really good way to put it. Yeah, there's a nicer way to approach it rather than saying, I've got to change this. I've got to stop smoking or I'm going to get cancer, which is just going to stress you out. And your go-to stress response was grab a cigarette and light up. So that's making it really, really hard. But if we went to it and actually just got curious about what am I getting out of this? It smells really bad. It tastes terrible. I'm having to go outside to do it all the time. What am I getting out of this? And what we're doing when we get curious is instead of going from one habit to a new habit, we're throwing a step in the middle. And sometimes that step is disillusionment. That, well, what am I getting out of this? I'm not getting anything out of it. So I'm not getting anything out of it. Why should I bother? And that can be a really powerful way to change, because you're changing because you want to change, not because you have to change.
Right. So can you recommend any ways of doing that? I suppose it's just about switching the mindset and thinking, oh, I'm going to be a bit more curious and intrigued and finding something joyful out of this. So how can you recommend doing that?
I was hosting a webinar this morning and one of the girls was talking about just hating going to the gym. I just hate going to the gym and I have to force myself to go to the gym all the time. Then don't go to the gym. Find another way to exercise. Find another way that you actually like. And then you're not pushing it uphill. I love the story of Sisyphus. I don't know if you know the story of Sisyphus from ancient Greece. Got condemned for all of eternity to push a rock up a hill, only for the rock to get to the top of the hill every day and roll back down. And I think that's the way we treat habit change a little bit. We kind of think we can grunt it and force it. And sometimes we need to do a little bit of that. But if we want to change, we can change from a place of, this is a sort of act of love for me to change rather than I have to do this because I'm not good enough.
Absolutely. With us at the moment is leading stress and mindset coach Luke Mathers. He's got a new book called Curious Habits, Why We Do What We Do and How to Change. So, I mean, I guess you could maybe apply some of the ways we've learned these bad or curious habits onto creating new habits, right?
Yeah, you can. And one of the things we don't do, we're not designed to savor things very much. BJ Fogg, who's one of the leading behavioral specialists in the world, has invented, he calls it sunshine. And so noticing the good thing that you've done and just savoring how nice it makes you feel. I used to be an optometrist. I was one of the original directors of Specsavers in Australia. So I spend a lot of time doing a very repetitive job. And one of the things I used to get quite agitated towards the end of the afternoon, because I was just getting frustrated at doing the same thing all day. And I used to go and eat chocolate chip cookies and Pepsi Max. That was my way of, you know, I'm feeling anxious, let's put sugar and caffeine on that and see how that works. Yeah, that was a pretty curious habit. It didn't help. It made my pants not fit anymore and it gave me indigestion. And I changed that to, I used to lie down on the floor in my consulting room when I had a break, and I just breathe into my stomach for a little while. And that would calm my body and calm everything. And then when I get up and Mrs. Jones, let's come and see who's next. And changing that and noticing that it felt so much better to just do the breathing exercises for 2 minutes than it was to eat chocolate chip cookies and Pepsi Max, changing that habit was really simple then.
Brilliant.
Because I got curious about what I was getting out of the alternative and what better things I got out of the one that I just did.
And something I understand you've been doing some work on as well is how we talk to ourselves, because often we can be our own worst enemies and it can really reinforce negative thoughts and behaviours.
It really does. Our brain doesn't know the difference between the things that we tell it and the self-talk and things that are actually happening in reality. So if you keep telling yourself you're bad at something, then you're just going to reinforce the fact you're bad at it. And I'm not talking about Pollyanna and making stuff up and deluding ourselves. But one of the things our brain loves doing is being right. And if you say you're going to reverse park somewhere and it's a bit of a tight spot, and as you're going to do it, you say, oh, I'm a really, really crap reverse parker. Then all of a sudden, as you do it and you start scraping your wheel on the gutter and realize you're not going to make this reverse park, you drive out and you go, yeah, see, I told you I was bad. And what we're doing is we're setting ourselves up for the failure. And then when we fail, at least we're right. And so I really think we all need to get curious about how we talk to ourselves. And one of the things that I do, I looked at some of the studies and research on this. I did it at University of Michigan. And they discovered that if you talk to yourself in the third person, you give yourself better advice. And so one of the things in my coaching groups I do now is I do a thing called Finding Carlos, which is coming up with the characteristics of the best version of you. What do you think yours might be, Jenny? What would the best version of you be if
best
we had
version
to give her two or three words? That's putting you on the spot, isn't it?
It really is. Loving, enthusiastic, curious.
Love them. If you got hit by a bus tomorrow and someone said you were loving, enthusiastic and curious, you'd be pretty happy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so what we do with our coaching, when we do this coaching, I've got this, I talk about how to do this in the book as well, is we have a process of coming up with what your words would be. And that sort of takes it out of you. And mine are, I'm curious, creative and present.
Yep.
So if I'm being curious, creative and present, I'm as happy as a pig in mud. And so if I have a way of talking to myself and I have an alter ego called Carlos, and I ask, what would Carlos do? And Carlos is curious, creative and generous. And, you know, Luke might step over the washing basket on the basket. Carlos would pick it up and take it upstairs and put it away.
Mm.
So it's what the better version of you would do.
Aww.
And the moment we can use an alter ego and talk to ourselves in a way that helps, we can change those habits a lot more easily.
Some great tips there. And we can find out more, as they say, all good bookshops, right, is where we can get
all good bookshops.
Curious habits.
Curious habits.
None of those crappy bookshops.
No. Have you ever been in a crappy bookshop? There's no such thing.
No. So lovely to have you on the show today. Thank you so much for taking the time and giving us some really invaluable advice, Luke Mathers.
Thanks for having me, Jenny. It's been fun.